Mark chapter 10, verse 46, beginning. And they came to Jerusalem, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway. Let me get my trifolds adjusted here. Sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You notice back in verse 48, blind Bartimaeus cried out. It says he cried the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." I can almost picture this man. Here he is blind. We don't know if it's something where he was born blind or if it's some type of accident or some type of infirmity. But he's blind, and he realizes his only hope is that somehow this man Jesus would have mercy on him. And as it says here, he's on the way out of Jericho. As far as we can tell, the only time it's recorded that Jesus ever went to Jericho was on this occasion. And now he's leaving the city. And Bartimaeus, and by the way, there was another man, but we'll just stick with Bartimaeus this morning. There were two blind men. But Bartimaeus realizes, if I'm to get help, the one who can help me is coming by. And while he's coming by, I'm going to call on him. And he calls out. Notice what he says. He calls out, "Have mercy. Have mercy." He realizes his only hope of help is that that one who can touch him would have mercy on him. That's an interesting way for him to phrase it. For he understands that his only hope is that the Lord have mercy. The word mercy means to treat an offender better than he deserves. Someone who deserves judgment, but mercy says, set them free. Someone who deserves condemnation, but mercy says, they'll be free. The word mercy means to treat an offender better than he deserves. But the word mercy also is to help someone who can't help themselves. And we see both of these to be true in blind Bartimaeus' life. He, like us, was an offender. He, like us, needed help that he could not provide for himself. He was blind. There wasn't a thing in the world he could do about it. He couldn't make himself see. He couldn't pretend that it wasn't so. He was blind and helpless. And his only hope was that this one coming by might have mercy, to do for him something he did not deserve, to do for him something he could not do for himself. And that's what mercy is. And friend, unless you're missing it, that's true of every person in this building, including me. We need mercy. Our only hope is that God might have mercy on us, for we don't deserve anything from him other than judgment. We're all together guilty. We all together have gone astray, but we need mercy. And the kind of help we need is the kind of help we cannot provide ourselves. Our only hope this morning, our only hope is that somehow he might pass by and do what we do not deserve, but something we so desperately need, to do something we cannot do for ourselves. Let's look at blind Bartimaeus for just a moment. If you notice in verse 46, of course, it first says he was blind. Could I, for a moment, magnify this thought? His condition was undesirable. Nobody would say, I wish I was like blind Bartimaeus. I wish I was just like him. He's the example. I want to be just like him. The condition he had was undesirable, for he was a man who was blind. All the beauty around him, he couldn't enjoy it. I don't know if he had family, but he couldn't even see his family. He couldn't even see his friends. Here's this man who has a desire, has a condition that's undesirable. No one wants to be blind, but that was his state. That was his part of life. He was blind and he couldn't see. All the beauty around him, he knew nothing about it. When the sun came up, he couldn't enjoy the beauty. When the sun went down, he couldn't enjoy the colors. To look at the hills and the rocks and the mountains and the gardens and the streams, those things that everybody else enjoyed and took for granted, blind Bartimaeus couldn't enjoy any of that. For he was a man who was blind. He could not see. He couldn't even see to take care of himself. If his clothes were dirty, he didn't know it. If his hair was out of place, he didn't know it. If there was a tear in his robe, he didn't know about it unless he just happened to feel the tear. Here was a man who couldn't see the beauty of all that was around him, but he didn't know about his own condition. He couldn't even take care of himself. He was blind. He couldn't see. He had no idea about the physical look of his person. He couldn't see himself. But there was something worse. As bad as being blind is, as all that we could use to describe what it would be like to be blind and not to be able to see, there's something worse. And that is to be spiritually blind. To be spiritually blind. And there are people even in this building perhaps this morning who are spiritually blind. They can't see all that God is doing. They don't recognize the things that God is trying to accomplish in their lives. And they do not see the need that they have. Blind Bartimaeus at least did know, I'm blind, I have a need. But so many in our day don't realize their condition. They're blind to themselves. They're blind to their condition. They don't recognize the shape they're in. And just like blind Bartimaeus, his only hope to see, his only hope of vision, his only hope of being able to see with his eyes was that this man passing by might have mercy. And while he could, he cried, have mercy. Oh, have mercy. I need you. And may the Lord touch some heart this morning and help us to realize He's passing by again. And may God so touch our heart to we, where we from our heart will say, "Oh, Lord, I need mercy. Will You do for me what I cannot do myself? Lord, will You help me where I'm at? I do not deserve it. That's why I need mercy. I cannot help myself. That's why I need mercy." Listen to me. Mercy is extended only to the guilty and to the needy. That's what mercy is all about. It's extended to somebody who is guilty and deserves judgment. But mercy says, "You'll not be judged. You'll be forgiven." Mercy is extended to somebody who is needy. Those who can help themselves don't need mercy. They can take care of the problem themselves. But all we who are here this morning, we need mercy. We need something only God can do. We need something only He can provide. We need for Him to do something in our hearts, and if He doesn't, we'll go away unchanged. His condition was undesirable. He was blind, but also he was begging, verse 46 says. You see, the problem of being blind created other problems. Being blind meant more than, "I can't see, I can't enjoy the beauty, I can't take care of myself." But it also means he couldn't provide for himself. If he had a family, he couldn't work and provide for the family. Family or not, he couldn't take care of himself. He couldn't go out and get a job. He couldn't go out and make a salary. So he had to sit by the roadside and beg. How humiliating. How degrading. I'm talking about his condition was undesirable. He was blind. He couldn't see. But he was begging. He had to depend on others. What a discouraging, what a depressing, what an undesirable state to be in. The blindness had caused other problems. And maybe there's something in your life. Maybe there's something that's happened in your life. And because of that that's happened in your past, you have all kinds of other related problems. Maybe something in your childhood. Maybe something that happened last week. Maybe how you were reared. Maybe how somebody treated you. Maybe something happened, some circumstance. And you can't get past it. You can't get over it. It's something in your life. It's something in the way you think. And friend, this morning, you need mercy. You need somebody who can help you. His condition was undesirable. He was blind. He was begging. In verse 46, it talks about a great number of people. Like always, when Jesus came by, multitudes flocked to Him. Now I have a question. In the midst of that crowd trying to get to Jesus, where do you think blind Bartimaeus ended up? Like always, in the back. He'd always, however long he'd been blind, been pushed aside, shoved out of the way. Everybody else got to the front of the line before him because he was blind. Everybody pushed by him and got what was needed and what was they were after and didn't care about blind Bartimaeus. So he not only was blind and begging, he was behind. He was at the back of the pack. Do you understand what I'm saying? It couldn't be worse. His circumstances couldn't have gotten any worse than they were. He was in a sad state. If anybody would be ignored, it would be the person in the back, those in the front, those that were visible, those that could be seen. Those are the ones that would usually get the attention of Jesus or anybody else coming by. Blind Bartimaeus was in a fix. Notice his condition was undesirable. But in verse 47, And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out to the one who could help him. He cried out to the only hope he had. He had heard about Jesus somehow. He had heard of what the Lord had done for others. And he realized, if I am to have any hope of eyesight or improvement, if my life is to change, if this need that I have is to be met, my only hope is that that Son of God, that Son of David, the one who's passing by, might somehow have mercy on me. And when he hears Jesus is coming by, he starts crying and screaming, oh, have mercy. Have mercy. He can't see him. He can't tell exactly where he's at. So all he can do is just cry out to the wind, have mercy. Oh, I need help. And the crowd says, quiet down, Barabbas, you're embarrassing me. Or Bartimaeus, you're embarrassing us. Calm down, Bartimaeus. You're embarrassing us. And the Bible says he cried out the more. Kept crying. Kept calling. So not only his condition was undesirable, his cry was unrelenting. He wouldn't give up, for he realized, my only hope is that the Son of God might have mercy on me. If he'll have mercy, if he'll hear my cry, if he'll help me, I will be helped. But if he doesn't hear me, if I don't cry, he won't help me. And he kept crying, and he kept calling, until he was heard. I have a question. Why did he cry out? Why did he call to the Lord? Somebody may say he cried out because he needed help. And that's partially so. But that's not the real answer to the question. Barnabas called out, not because he had a need, but because he knew he had a need. He recognized, I need help. There's a lot of people who need help. There's a lot of people who need the Lord, but they don't admit it or won't admit it. I'm looking into the face of people, and every person here, including me, every one of us this morning, need help from God. In some way, some shape, some fashion, we need help. We need mercy. We need something, listen to me, we do not deserve, and something we cannot do ourselves. We need mercy. We need mercy. Oh, God, have mercy on us. Oh, God, we don't deserve what we need, and we cannot provide what we need. Our only hope is that you'll have mercy. There's a lot of people who ought to call, need to call, but they don't see their need. They don't recognize their need. Or if they do see it, they won't admit it. There's some people in this building this morning who need to cry for mercy. I wonder if you will. I wonder if I will. There's some people who need to cry for mercy because they're sinners. Anybody can profess to be saved. Anybody can say, I know the Lord. But this Bible that we believe, this Bible that God wrote, tells us that we can have assurance. John said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. I want to ask you something. Do you know it? Do you know it? Are you sure? Oh, there's people who need to cry out for mercy, but they refuse to because they refuse to admit the need. Or they refuse to, don't even realize there is a need. They refuse to admit the need, or they don't even realize there is a need. There's a lot of people who think they're saved when they're not. True salvation changes your life. True salvation is something that you never get over. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. I think about the maniac of Gadara, a man out of his mind, ran around without clothes, crying out in the night. But when he met with the Lord, he was clothed, sitting, had peace of mind, and talking right. What a difference Christ makes in the life of those who really get saved. Has there been that transformation in your life? I'm not talking about something so drastic of a change. It may not have been for you, but if there is a change if you really got saved. If you're saved, there's a change. And if there's no change, you're not saved. I do know this. The Bible talks about people who followed Christ, but they weren't saved. Jesus himself said, but there are some of you, those who are following him, that believe not. Judas looked the part. A lot of people live pretty good moral lives, act the part, and talk the talk. But are you genuinely saved? I'm talking about blind Bartimaeus saw his only hope was to call out to the one who would have mercy. And I say this morning, there's some people in this building who need to call out for mercy. Some need to call out for mercy because they're sinners. You're lost. You may have told everybody you're saved. You may be a member of this church. You may have been a member of this church for a long time. It may be one of the first few times you've been here. It doesn't matter. I ask you, will you do me a favor? Will you do yourself a favor? Right now from your heart, say, Lord, am I saved? You shouldn't be afraid to do that. That should not bother us. I don't mind asking the Lord. Are you sure you're saved? Are you sure your sins have been forgiven? If you're not certain, if you're not sure, or if you know you haven't, he's passing by this morning while he's here, while he's speaking to you. Will you call on him and beg for mercy? Some need to cry out for mercy because they're sinners. Some need to cry out for mercy because they're sinful. There are people who are saved, but if you look at their life, there's not much evidence of it. Really have been saved, but they're not dedicated. They're not sold out. Their lives are not clean. They're holding on to sin, holding on to a temporary thrill. Because of the sin in their lives, they're miserable. Because of the sin they will not let go of, they have no peace with God. Or peace from God, because of the sin they're holding on to, they are not content. Their lives are miserable, but they won't let go. The sin has them bound. The sin has them like a slave. The sin has them chained. And this morning, as he passes by, will you cry out for mercy and say, oh God, I'm tired of the sin. I'm tired of being bound. I'm tired of the same old trap I fall into. Oh God, have mercy on me. Oh God, help me to get clean and stay clean. There's some who need to cry out for mercy because they're sinful. There's some that need to cry out for mercy because they're scared. Worry and fearful and troubled and bothered about what might happen tomorrow, what may take place, what might happen. afraid of circumstances, of what tomorrow holds, afraid of people and their opinion, afraid of failure so you don't try anything for the Lord. There's people who are afraid. There's people who are troubled. There's people who are scared. And oh, I want to tell you, the Lord is passing by this morning. Will you call out for Him? Will you cry out to Him and say, oh, God, I'm tired of this anxious feeling. I'm tired of living in fear. I'm tired of being afraid. Lord, if you don't help me, I'll not get any help. And Lord, I want to tell you right now, I don't deserve that help because that's what mercy's all about. But I'm asking you, oh God, will you help me not to be afraid anymore? Will you help me not to be scared? There's some people who need to cry out for mercy because they're sour. Circumstances have come in your life and you've gotten bitter. People have done things that were wrong. No doubt they were wrong, but you've let it turn inward and you've gotten hard and bitter. You're mad at people. You're mad at God. Why didn't God let this happen? Why did God allow this to happen? I want to tell you, I don't have all the answers. In fact, I have more questions myself than answers. But I want to tell you, being sour or getting bitter, it'll destroy you. It'll ruin you. It'll devour you. It'll defeat you. It will destroy you. Don't get bitter at anybody. Don't get bitter at God. This morning, there's somebody here. You've turned sour. You've turned bitter. Your attitude is negative and wrong. And as He passes by, you need to say, oh, God, have mercy on me. My heart has grown hard. I'm angry. I'm bitter. And I don't want to be. But I can't change it. I can't do a thing about it. My only hope is You. I need mercy. I need something I don't deserve. I need something I cannot do myself. Oh, God, have mercy on me. There's people who need to cry out for mercy because they're skeptical. My problem's too bad. My situation's too difficult. Even God can't help me. My problems are too deep. My situation's unique. Even God can't straighten this out. There's people who are overwhelmed with doubt and unbelief. And yet we have a God who says there's nothing impossible with me. For Him, by Him, through Him, all things are possible. And one of the things that are binding us and Him this evening or this morning more than anything else is our lack of faith, being skeptical, wondering, can God, will God? We need mercy from Him that God might increase our faith, that we might trust Him, that we might expect Him to move, that we might see Him as He is, see how powerful He is. And as He passes by this morning, may we cry out, oh God, have mercy on me. My lack of faith, my unbelief is hurting You and is hindering You. And God, I need help. There's some people who need to cry out for mercy because they're stubborn. Your favorite phrase is, it's not my fault. Don't blame me. Some people refuse to admit that they've ever done anything wrong. Some people refuse to admit that it's anything their fault. And you can't convince them otherwise, for they know it wasn't my fault. I'm not to blame. I didn't do wrong. And the only thing that'll break through that blindness and that hardness is that somehow the Lord might come through this morning and call out to you and show you your need. And as He does, will you call out to Him and say, oh God, it is me. It is me. I did do wrong. I'm at least partially to blame. Lord, will You have mercy on me? Some need to cry out for mercy because they're stubborn. And until we realize we're to blame, we've done wrong, we can't get any help. For once in our lives, we need to say, it's me. I'm to blame. It's my fault. Lord, will You have mercy on me? and forgive me. There's some who need to cry out for mercy because they're suffering. Folks in this day are hurting. I thought this morning, I've requested prayer for a friend of mine and their family that's going through so much right now. I'm not sure all the reasons why. That's between them and the Lord, but I do know this. I see people every day of my life. I'm looking to the face of people. I'm looking to the eyes of people who are suffering, who are troubled, who are hurting, who need help. Life has been overwhelming. Difficulties too big. Problems too much for you to handle. And friend, you just need some help. Somehow you just need some encouragement. Somehow you just need to be picked up. Somehow you just need to know everything's going to be all right. And it's not just a cliche. It's not just words. But you believe it in your heart. As the Lord passes by this morning, will you cry out, "Oh God, have mercy. Strengthen me. Encourage me. Oh God, I've lost hope. Oh God, I'm about to give up." There's a lot of people who need to cry out for mercy like Bartimaeus did. There's some people who need to cry out for mercy because they're satisfied. Little desire for spiritual things. Don't love the Word anymore. Not hungry for church. Very few times do they find themselves on their knees praying. Very little, if ever, do they ever witness about the good things of God to somebody who's lost. Come to church without praying. Come and sit and listen. And if nothing happens, if God doesn't move, it doesn't really disturb you. It doesn't trouble you. Never from your heart you think, "I need to pray." Boy, we need to get in touch with God. We need help from the Lord. I want to pray for the singers. I want to pray for the preacher. I want to pray for the teachers. I want to pray for my church. Very little desire, if any, because they're content and they're satisfied. Very little agonizing. Very little supplication. Very little saying, "Oh, God, have mercy." And when we get satisfied, there's no hope for us. When we get content where we're at, even God can't help us. So this morning, from your heart, as you sense them pass by, will you say, "Lord, I'm sorry, but I just don't love you like I need to. And I just don't love the things of God like I ought to. And I'm just not hungry for your things and the spiritual things in my life. Lord, I can't do a thing about it. Lord, I can't stir my own heart. I can't give myself the desire. I can't take this emptiness away. Lord, I need mercy. Oh, will you have mercy on me? Will you meet me where I'm at with what I need?" That's where Bartimaeus was. He realized his condition, and that's why he cried out. Verse 49, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him," I wish I had time to deal with all this, "What will that thou should do unto thee, that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Got a question. Here's a man who is blind. Here's a man who depends on people all the time to get him around town, he's depending on people. He's blind. He's begging. And all of a sudden, instantly, the Lord touches him. And he receives his sight. Here's my question. Do you think he noticed the difference? Do you think he had to ask anybody what had happened? Do you think he realized when his eyes were open, he knew something had happened? I've got another question. People all around him who knew him saw the difference. Do you think that? Amen. Here's my question. Did he notice the difference? Oh, yes. Secondly, did they notice the difference? Oh, yes. Here's my third point. His condition was undesirable. His cry was unrelenting. He wouldn't give up. His change was unmistakable. When the Lord touched him, I'm a feeling better. Amen. The Lord opened his eyes. First, he knew something's different. But everybody who knew him knew something was different. You want to know why? Because something was different. You want to know why? Because the Lord had come with mercy and had done something he did not deserve and had done something he could not do for himself. And that's where I'm at. And that's where you're at. We need mercy. We need help that we do not deserve. We need something we cannot do on our own. And if he doesn't help us, we'll not be changed. If he doesn't have mercy, nothing will improve. Nothing will be different. But if somehow, oh, thank the Lord, if somehow we can call out to him and he'll hear our cry, he can come and do that we need. I gave a long list of some things that may be true, may be needed. I may have missed your problem. I may have missed your need, but I've got news for you. His touch takes care of that one too. But we need mercy. He heard Jesus was coming, and he started crying. Have mercy! Have mercy! He couldn't see him, but he could tell from the commotion, the disturbance, he is close. Son of David! Mercy! Mercy! I need you! Oh, over here! Here I am! I need you! People said, hush. He said, I'm not hushing. Hush, nothing. I need help. I need help. And the only help I can get, the only hope I have is passing by. You think I'm going to hush? You're crazy. I need help. And my only hope is that he have mercy. Because I don't deserve what I'm asking for. And I can't do for myself what I need. My only hope, oh God. Oh God, have mercy. Oh God, have mercy. And this morning I need mercy. Because what I need, I don't deserve. And what I need, I can't do myself. And all you need it to do. Well, I want to remind you, and I'm done. Only time Jesus went to Jericho. And now he's leaving. Do you understand, humanly speaking, this was the last chance. The last chance for Bartimaeus. The last chance. And if he got out of earsight, if he kept on walking, if he didn't have mercy, he's going to be in the same shape. He's going to be in the same condition. And Bartimaeus says, I can't let that happen. I can't stand it. I've got to have help. And from his heart, with all that he had, have mercy! Mercy! We need mercy this morning for what we need from God we don't deserve. And what we need, we cannot provide ourselves. Let's stand together. Many of you will come. I gave a good long list of possibilities. Maybe you heard your name being called as I went through that list. maybe that you need from God I didn't even mention. But will you hear Him coming by? Will you hear Him coming by? Will you hear the disturbance? Will you recognize He's coming by again? Will you hear that voice inside reminding you and showing you you have a need? Will you hear Him? Will you cry out mercy? Will you come to this altar and say, "Oh God, I need mercy. If you don't help me, I won't get help. If you don't do something, oh, I'll stay where I'm at in my prison." I mentioned this. Bartimaeus cried not because he had a need, but because he realized he had a need. The Lord's shown you this morning that you have a need. Will you come? Bartimaeus got miserable. But could I say something? That's not what made him cry out to the Lord. I've seen a lot of people miserable. I've been miserable myself. I've seen a lot of people miserable and they didn't call out for help from God. Somehow we adjust to our misery. Somehow we get used to misery. Somehow we're just not willing to call out for help. Friend, I want to tell you, Bartimaeus not only was miserable, but he got tired of his condition. And that's what moved him to call. Aren't you tired of it? Aren't you tired of it? Aren't you tired of your bondage? Aren't you tired of the uncertainty? Aren't you tired of that you're caught up in or that is controlling you? I'll tell you, there's somebody passing by who'll have mercy. Somebody who can help you. His eyes were blind. Legitimately, he could not see. But the Lord touched him, and his eyes were open. That means Jesus took care of the problem. No matter what your problem is, the Lord can help you. I'm not suggesting there's an instant fix all the time, but I do know this. The only one who can help you with your problem and with your need is the Lord. And you, like your preacher, need to cry out for mercy, for help. Oh, God, have mercy. Have mercy. Are you sure you're saved? Are you certain? You don't have to talk to me about it. I'm willing to listen if you want to. You don't have to address the church about it. That's fine if you feel so compelled. But it's between you and the Lord. You and Him. I'll offer this suggestion again right now from your heart. Will you talk to Him and say, "Lord, am I really saved? If I'm not, show me. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be confused." If there's any question, you come right now. Step out from that pew and come. Somehow I hear the shuffling of the feet. Somehow I can smell the dust.